Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Somebody's not letting me dial in.
Hello.
Good evening. Somebody wasn't letting me call in. I keep trying. It wasn't letting me go through.
We hear you. You just have to mute everyone else.
Okay. No, fine. I couldn't call. Anyhow, the parasha is very interesting in terms of it proves a point. Vayakol Pekudei is the actual building of the Mishkan. Previously, as I mentioned previous weeks, that Truman Tetzaveh were Moshe's. God spoke to Moshe and told him about building the Mishkan, and now after the Maase Egel, things change a little bit. The interesting thing that we could, and now he's giving them over the job to do it. He tells Eliyahu and Bezalel, of course, most importantly, that their job is going to oversee the building and to oversee all the work, and they will be the experts behind checking everything, and of course, Moshe at the end is the one who finally checks it. Now, Vayakel Moshe begins with a very interesting thing, and it tells us once again about Shabbos. And the reason I mention that right away is it proves a point, because we have in Mishpatim, we talk about Shabbos a little bit. In Bishalach, certainly, we talk about Bishalach. And Truma Tetzaveh, last week in Kisisa, it talks about Vishamru V'nei Yisrael as HaShabbos and all these things. It talks about Shabbos. And here, why, again, would it have to be told about Shabbos? And, of course, it's on the surface is to let them know, since he's telling them now, that even though the work of Mishkan is Kodesh, and we might think that certainly there are malachos that are on Shabbos that we do for the sake of Shabbos, there are certain things that normally wouldn't be allowed to do, other things that are muktzah on Shabbos, as the Gemara in Chulin makes a point of saying, that even a knife, we use knives on Shabbos, but if it's a moil knife that's not in the proper, it's not in the use of a mila, or if it's a shochet knife that is only used for shita, that knife would be mukta. So even though this is done for sacred purposes, nevertheless, on Shabbos it would be mukta. So therefore, it's to tell us that anything that is used in the process of building the Mishkan would be usur to use on Shabbos. But there's one other thing that is very important. We know the Bnei Yisrael learned all about Shabbos, but why does it mention Shabbos all over again here? Because the fact is, it specifies one particular avoda, one malacha rather, difference between avoda and malacha we'll see at the end of the parasha, but it mentions only one particular malacha here, lo sevaru eish b'chol moshol seichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. And why is that? Because previous to this, even though we learned certain things about Shabbos, we also learned about Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. And we know one thing that's very different from Shabbos and Yom Tov, and that is Kol Ol, especially since we see in Parshas Bo, when we learn Parshas HaChodesh to Shabbos, it also mentions about that you walkil chol ol nefesh, you're allowed to cook for ochol nefesh if we need to eat, so we could start a fire, or we could cook something on Shabbos, cook something on Yom Tov for the necessity of having a carbon that we need for Shabbos to eat it, for Yom Tov rather to eat it. But now it says kol malacha, all types of work, every kind of work, and it specifies lo sivaru eish, because even ochel nefesh is on Shabbos, so don't get the misconception that it's Shabbos. And just like Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah, we can, for the sake of eating, we could have a fire and cook on Shabbos. Even that is asur. And that is the purpose of singling out this particular malacha at this point in time. Now, of course, the interesting thing, again, once these things begin, is what is the purpose of the tenufa? People are lining up, and it took 2 days for all the things necessary for the Mishkan, all the coins and all the gold and silver and copper and all the materials that were needed for the Mishkan were brought before Bezalel and Moshe in 2 days. Everybody lined up. So what was the point of tenufa, raising up the things? It says kol hazahav, all the gold. It would be raised up and to show everybody, to show what was the purpose. And we know that's the same reason at an appeal. Why do we call out? You know, you want to be matan besesa, we have appeals and shul for money, and certain people don't like to call out the name. They don't want to show off, and that's fine. But so why do we do it? The hetzer to do it is that we want to spur other people to give. If I see that somebody else gives $100 and I only want to give 50, maybe it'll cause me to give $100 too. So the tenufa here, the raising up to show so-and-so now has come forth and brought me this particular golden goblet or whatever he was bringing, this much gold, and he raises it up and shows this is what so-and-so brought. And that was to spur the, you know, donations. And interestingly enough, as we say, Daiva Hoser, this was, can you imagine having an appeal and in the middle of the appeal, the person who's calling out the amounts of money that people are donating and saying we needed X amount of dollars, we have reached the point where we don't need any more money, we don't need any more workmen, please go home, put your wallets back in your pocket, we have all we need. How many times in history can we say that that happened? That would be a singular event. But of course, since all the money collected was simply just to build the Mishkan, and there was no thought of anybody making extra money on the deal or putting it away for a rainy day, of course, there were certain things that had to be made more than once. But nevertheless, because if something became impure, you would have to have something to replace it and ready to go on the spur of the moment in case, let's say, if it came before Yom Kippur and you needed something new, and that you couldn't have time to make it, so you would have to have, so to speak, money in the bank to produce something else, or you have backups that are ready to go. It's just that all these things are very important to be aware of. And, of course, it tells us, again, kol nediv lei. But now, what I didn't mention last time was Bezalel, the problem with Moshe was concerned about that Bezalel, since it was his grandnephew, that he didn't want to seem like he's feather bedding and picking out somebody from the family again. And since this was Miriam's grandson, Hur, who was killed, was Miriam's son, and now this was Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mate Yehuda. So this was a family member. But God said, I will take that problem away from you. And it says, Re'u Karasi B'Shem, I will make sure that everybody hears his name being called out. And so you won't have any problems because everybody will know it came directly from me and this wasn't your choice. It was mine. There'll be no problems. Now, also, we notice, Tzorech Limnos Kol Umono Shetrichem Levinyan. Once again, we remind Moshe, besides mentioning all the things that he needed for everybody to give just the things that we needed, he also was asking for workmen who were experts in certain fields. Of course, we need artisans in whether it's in weaving, whether it's in being a goldsmith, a silversmith. Every ore takes a certain talent to use it. And if you're used to hammering out silver or copper or gold and how to do it, it would take certain expertise, and that's what Moshe was telling them. We only want people who have a certain talent, that have a certain talent to do all these things. Now, one thing that is very interesting, that the other things that we know were all in the building, what was the point of Pamon v'Rimon? What was the purpose it has to tell us? It doesn't tell us the purpose here of all the things that we're bringing into the Beis HaMikdash, all the things, Pamon v'Rimon. Why would the Kohen Gadol have to wear bells? And, of course, we learned previously, V'nishma kolo b'voel HaKodesh. Now, of course, everybody heard the Kohen Gadol coming, but what would be the purpose of him ringing a bell whenever he's wearing this, he's going into the Kodshei Kodshim? That was the purpose of it. So does he have to ring the bell to say to God, here I am coming? But this is a very important lesson to us, that it's proper decorum to ring the bell, so to speak, so that even Aaron, before he would enter the Kodshei Kodshim to do the Avoda, he would have to announce himself. God certainly knows that he's coming, but it's to teach us a lesson in etiquette. And even we're told by Chazal that one should even ring the doorbell before he comes into his own house. He has a key. He's going to open the door, but he should ring the doorbell and let him know that he's about to enter the house. And it's a very interesting thought process, but these are the things that we learn, and this is what we learned, Pamon v'Rimon. Of course, we're not sure that it means Pamon, it was in Besocha Rimonim, or out. A lot of things in the Mishkan, are all the Kalim, there are different disputes about how they were actually made, if the Me'il had sleeves or didn't have sleeves, and other things of that nature. Now, one thing that I wanted to bring to the attention over here is, once again, we have Parshas HaChodesh, but when it says Kol Oseh Melacha, you must. Now, it says, interestingly enough, I mentioned last week about the difference between Yeoseh and Teoseh, but it's also something else. It's a man that you would think that, what does it say, Zochoris Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, we read in the Aseres HaDibros, and that somebody, it can't say, Avdecha V'Amoscha, you can't get anybody else in Shishavus, that if you can't tell a guy to do, if you're your servant, you can't tell anybody else to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. The difference is, Kol Hu Oseh Bo Malacha, you must. It's telling us here, if we look at the language, whoever actually does it on his own is Chayiv Misa. The words are chosen carefully. God does not put in extra words. He wants to let us know that even though Zochoris Yom HaShabbos and Shomoris Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, all these things you're not allowed to do, but the death penalty is only if you yourself do it. Kol Ha'oseh Bo Melacha. So Yeoseh, if you're going to do the work, then or Teoseh, you are going to do the work. If you're the one who's actually doing it, then you will suffer the death penalty. If you have somebody else do it for you, you're not allowed. But nevertheless, the penalty is not the death penalty. And these are very important things to know. And of course, what were the purpose of, once again, Shabbos? Of course, the Gemara tells us very simply, where do we get what we call the Lamates Melachos, the 39 type of work that we're not allowed to do, and that's anything that had to do with the Mishkan. For instance, as we know, why wouldn't somebody be allowed to tie a knot on Shabbos? Because very simply, to catch the fish that was needed to make the dyes, the chilazon, for the tcheles, and they had to catch the fish, they had to catch it with nets. And to make the nets, they had to tie knots, and therefore, one is not allowed to tie a knot on Shabbos. Of course, it has many ramifications. Today, there was a time years ago when people would, if you notice years ago, many people wore loafers on Shabbos because they didn't want to tie a knot in the shoe. Of course, that's not the actual point is that today, of course, somebody walking in the street with his laces open, which I know I used to see many times as a child, but we are told, obviously, for a very good reason, that if you're going to trip and hurt yourself, by all means, tie the knot. But there are other ramifications, which we'll get into another time when we discuss the laws of Pesach, or various things we'll discuss next week. And these are all very important things to know. Of course, when we get to the end of Pekudei, now there are very interesting pasuk at the end when everybody, when they bring everything to Moshe Rabbeinu, everything is brought to him. And because Bezalel wanted to put together the Mishkan, but Bezalel and Eliyahu, neither one was able to assemble it. They had everything made. Moshe said everything is complete, and now it's time to put up the Mishkan. Bezalel couldn't do it. Eliyahu couldn't do it. Nobody knew. The idea was that the Mishkan, in its dimensions that God set up, was a miraculous erection. The whole idea of putting it together, building the Mishkan the way it was standing, was an amazing miracle, because it wouldn't make sense that it should be able to stand on its own. Yet, when they brought it to Moshe, Moshe himself could not do it, and therefore, when it says, Vayokem hukam ha-Mishkan, God actually put up the Mishkan the first time, and then, of course, for 7 days, there were dress rehearsals, so to speak, and every day, the Yemei Miluim, every day he took it up, put it down, everybody watched, take it up, put it down, take it down, until the final day, the opening night, so to speak, came into being. And, of course, that's when we start the Vayikra, when we read it next week. But one very interesting thing is when it says, Kechol asher tivo Hashem es Moshe, kein osu b'nei Yisrael, and I said I would mention the difference between avoda and malacha. Of course, avoda is very simple labor. It's any kind of a labor. Malacha is artistry. It's not heavy lifting. I mean, of course, I'm in my house and I have to move the table, and I need three people to lift up the dining room table and move it. Of course, I'm in my own house, I could do it. That's avoda. But it's not malacha. What's usur on Shabbos is malacha. But over here, what we're talking about over here, when the pasuk says, Kechol asher tivo Hashem es Moshe, kein osu b'nei Yisrael eis kol hu avoda. They did all the work. Moshe had to oversee. There were two facets. One is the actual work. Sometimes you could do the work, and you tried your best. It wasn't perfect, but you still, you're getting paid for the time you put into work. So Moshe went ahead and blessed all the work that was done. But now, Vayar Moshe es kol hamalacha, but when he saw the finished product, all the work that went into it, when he saw the actual work that was done, then Vayivarech also Moshe. So he blessed the people for putting in all this time and energy, for giving of themselves, which was very important. But yet, the now to say also, not only did you donate all this time and energy to do all this work without any recompense, but now the work was on top of everything. I just want you to know, he said, the work was perfect. Asher tzivu Hashem es Moshe. The miracle was that many times we could hire an artisan to do work. We hire somebody to do work in our house, and many times your wife or the husband says, I want it done this way, and the architect says, I figured I would just change a little bit. This might be a little better, and I had an idea that it would be better. And everything had to be done. God was saying, this is my house. Follow the specs. I don't need any changes. I don't want any changes. Let's see if you can follow the rules. That's the basis of Yiddishkeit, the basis of Judaism, the Torah, is to follow the rules. Can you and will you? And when he saw that all the work that they did, not only did they put in that effort, but they accomplished it according to the specs. And Vayivarech Hosom Moshe, and this was an amazing feat in terms of that. Now, one thing that is very interesting, that when we get to Parshas HaChodesh, it really, something that I was wondering about, it's sort of, the idea is, what is so important about HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, Rosh Chodeshim Rishon Hulachem Lachotshei Hashanah. That is, this is the first month. This is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. It's for you. The importance of the Karban Pesach was to create a sense of unity, as we've said previously when I did Parshas Bo, but to bring it up a different light. Now, they've been enslaved for 210 years. Certainly the last 86 years was hard labor, and the people, for it's already a couple of generations, people have no family life. They have no social life whatsoever. And now God wants them b'mechsas nefashos. I'm telling you, I don't want any leftovers for the simple reason that I want you to get to know your neighbor. But it's not just to the last minute. Why does it say Ela Lemnuyav? Because you have to go to the person 2 weeks in advance, basically. On Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you have to take inventory, so to speak. How many people am I going to have at the dinner table? They didn't have a Seder, certainly. But how many people am I going to have at the dinner table to consume this much meat by midnight? How many people are going to be there? I need to know. And therefore, we're going to look around. I need 12 people, and you're going around, and people are making a list and getting enough people. And this way, you get to know, not for 1 day or 2 days or just make a last-minute phone call. There's 2 weeks of preparation, and everybody is making meals together, and it gives a sense of unity. And that's one of the things that God wants. And what occurred to me because of this, that's what's so important was, there's a story in the Gemara that says very interestingly that it says that we have a calendar, and it's very important to keep the dates on the calendar because that's the one thing that unifies us, that I don't follow this calendar, I don't follow this calendar, and you follow that calendar. Pesach is on one particular day. Sukkot is on a particular day. We all agree to that particular day, all the Yom Tovim are on that day. It's very important, and it's the basis, it's the foundation of Judaism, and that's why the Gemara tells the story when Rabbi Yoshua thought Yom Kippur was off by a day, and he thought that Yom Kippur was on a different day than Rabbi Gamliel had established that particular year, and Rabbi Gamliel made him carry B'maklo V'Tarmilo, made him come to the Beis Medrash with his carrying on Yom Kippur to show that we have to abide by one calendar. The point is, as soon as we have a different disagreement on the calendar and it says you have it wrong, that there wasn't a new moon, or for whatever reason, because there are so many things involved in making a calendar, that it's amazing that Hillel's grandson was able to accomplish this, to make a perpetual calendar, which is a tremendous achievement, especially in the days so many thousands of years ago when there was no computers. 100 years ago, there were no computers. But nevertheless, that everybody would agree that this is the day that Yontif is. So he's saying, I need you. Once you break up the idea that is, you feel it's Yom Kippur tomorrow when I say it's today, or I say it's tomorrow when you say it's today, we're in a lot of trouble. It seems like a minor event, but it's the basis. This is one of the things that unite us. And that's the important thing of the whole idea of Pesach, certainly. And HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, this is your Yontif. We start counting the calendar now, and that is what brings us together. We start, it's for you. It's not for me, the calendar. I'm giving you the ability to do it. And if everybody's on the same page, we have an opportunity to survive. And so wish everybody a happy, you know, Chodesh Nisan, you know, that now that Nisan comes, we have different sets of rules, and next week we'll start to, little by little, we'll discuss some of the interesting things on the Haggadah. Thank you, and have a good evening.